Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. SDPB education reporter Jackie Hendry kicks off a month-long look at international students in South Dakota higher education. Watch for continuing coverage throughout April as she explores the impact on the state's economy, as well as on communities, on colleges and universities, and on students who study side-by-side with scholars from across the globe. Jackie Hendry joins us now from SDPB's Black Hills Bureau in Rapid City. Hey, Jackie, welcome back.
Hey, Lori, thanks for having me. It's fun to be out west this time.
Yeah, you got a little snow there for you to celebrate, but go out and enjoy some of that. So let's start here. Let's start with how are we defining international students? Is that easy to do or complicated to do?
It's a lot more complicated than I first thought it would be. So right? the issue, it depends on who you ask. So generally, international students are those who are here in the United States for a temporary educational purpose on a particular sort of visa that they can get. However, for instance, Board of Regents data would include those versus Institute of International Education might also include students who are actually done with college but might be here on a sort of visa extension for a program called Optional Practical Training or OPT. There also might be included in those numbers students who are here for maybe just a few weeks as part of an intensive English program. So for the purposes of this series that I'm doing, I'm mainly focusing on students who are on campus in the process of completing their degree. But when you try to look up the stats, it's a little tricky to nail down.
All right, good to know. Well, what do the numbers, as you've sort of narrowed down for the focus of today, what do the numbers look like nationally? How big of a program is this? How big of how extensive is it?
Pretty extensive. And at first glance at some of these numbers, it looks like we are seeing an overall growth in international students. The most recent report from the Institute of International Education shows that in the 2016 to 2017 academic year, there was a record number of international students in the United States. And in fact, it was the second year in a row where we've had more than 1 million international students studying abroad in the United States. But remember that optional practical training, these kind of non-degree related things, that's what's really driving the growth that we're seeing. Those OPT programs are growing at a rate of nearly 20%. But when you look at students who are, you know, traveling to the United States for the first time and starting that degree, that is actually dropping by 3% or so. And that's actually the first time that that number has dropped since this institute started collecting that number back in 2005. And so really, the number of new students is dropping the most in the middle of the country, including here in South Dakota.
All right, I want to get back to South Dakota in a moment. But when you talk about optional practical training, is that all fields? Is that, give me an example of, or is that just a certain, you know, doctors who have gone on, you know, for an internship or something? How broad is that program?
It's pretty broad, but again, there are more variances. For instance, I know of a student who majored in marketing at USD, and I believe she worked at a marketing firm in Sioux Falls for a year, which is how the length of time for most OPT extensions. However, if you're in a STEM field, you can apply for up to 3 years to stay after you finish your degree.
Interesting. All right. So the numbers are going down in South Dakota. Have you, I doubt there's research on why, but what are people saying about, you know, what's the reason for that number to sort of drop?
There can be a few different reasons. For instance, the director, Greg Weimer at South Dakota State University, mentioned they have a large population of Saudi Arabian students. Saudi Arabia has a particular scholarship through their government that allows students to come abroad to study. That scholarship has gone down, and therefore the number of Saudi Arabian students has gone down. So you have certain things like that in those different areas. But also some of the administrators that I've talked to so far have referenced the political climate, some references to policy changes currently. They didn't give specific examples, but also just the idea of how rhetoric, not only in the United States, but also around the world, is kind of changing. And the perception is changing a little bit towards the United States about how welcome we actually are towards people from other countries. And that can play a role, too, true or not.
All right. Let's look at South Dakota and expand that conversation a bit. How many international students do we have within the state?
So the Student Exchange Visa Information Service, or SEVIS, they look at the particular types of student visas. Again, that can include a lot of different things, but we're looking at around 2,000, just over 2,000 students in the state as of December of 2017. For Board of Regents, degree-seeking students is around half of that, like 1,400.
And why do they come? Why pick South Dakota?
The interesting thing is South Dakota tends to mirror trends across the nation. Nearly half of all international students, both across the country and in South Dakota, are in some sort of STEM fields, engineering, yeah, hard sciences, and that's pretty close to what's happening in South Dakota as well.
All right, but it's South Dakota. We love it. We love South Dakota, but as you look out your window right now, maybe if you're from, you know, a warmer climate, or you're just from really far away, it's, you know, what draws you to the middle of this country versus, you know, a New York or an LA or a Chicago kind of, you know, school program.
Right. And that is a challenge for South Dakota recruiters. I've heard, as far as retention goes, you'll always have those students who come, they realize it is very cold, and they transfer to Florida. But right, we see that domestically as well. But I spoke to director of the International Office at the University of South Dakota, which is Susan Hackamer. She told me that, for instance, USD only established a dedicated international office about 2 years ago. They were the last institution in the state to do so. But she says that doesn't mean that they weren't actually already attracting students from other countries.
So the students that we've had have found USD in the past based on price, based on a family connection, based on a friend connection, based on a location. There's an aunt or uncle or somebody that lives nearby, and they like having, you know, access to someone they know, and then sort of continued word of mouth. So we've had a pretty stable international population until the last several years.
And so, of course, this isn't to say that an international office doesn't generally increase the number of international students a university can recruit. For instance, South Dakota State University has had a dedicated international office for maybe about 7 years. They're very proactive in international recruitment, and they have more than 900 international students, which is the most out of any of the Board of Regents institutions. So there's a lot of strategy that goes into these efforts, but I think kind of the idea is also that, as with anyone else, there's a wide array of reasons why anyone might choose a particular school.
All right. Well, why would a school choose to be aggressive? Why is it important for South Dakota schools to sort of be active in recruiting on an international level?
Well, international students benefit domestic students and domestic institutions in a few different ways. I referenced Greg Weimer. He's, again, the director of international students and scholars up at SDSU. He's been working with international students for maybe 19 years, six or so of those at SDSU. And he's of the opinion that we do a disservice to our domestic students if we don't branch out internationally.
As the world becomes more global, it doesn't matter if you're farming in a small community in the center of South Dakota, or if you're working in a big city, you're going to be engaging at times the international community or be dependent on what's happening globally in terms of markets, all those kind of things. I mean, we look at right now with some of the things that are happening in terms of tariffs in the United States and how that could potentially affect the soybean crops here in the United States and local farmers, you know.
Right. And I talked with him last week, and we're seeing already within the last couple of days how these things are kind of coming to fruition. So beyond just kind of that more diverse cultural experience for domestic students, being able to kind of interpret what goes on around them on a global scale, schools and communities themselves see an economic benefit from international students. Both Susan Hackamer with USD and Greg Weimer referenced a need to sort of make up for maybe limited state funding and limited in-state enrollment. And Weimer says international students can help bridge that gap.
Many of these students, of course, they're not eligible for financial aid. And they're, as far as scholarships, at least at the undergraduate level, there's not a lot. So they're paying full tuition and really helping to, you know, again, offset maybe some of the expenses that that would negatively affect the institution if they weren't here.
Sure. So as far as benefits to South Dakotans, you know, our students benefit. The argument is also that our institutions benefit as well.
Right. And some, I think we've done a few conversations about this on In the Moment in the past, and some students in state and out of state are asking that question, during their tours. What does the diversity of this university look like? And schools are having to answer to the efforts that they're putting forth to sort of create a student body that, provides a broader educational experience for young kids from South Dakota as well.
Exactly. And I can tell you, as a former USD student, the idea of inclusive excellence has been part of their rhetoric for basically as long as I've been there, for about 7 years. And then the formation of the International Office also served to kind of put their money where their mouth is as far as that is right. concerned, even though they've been having international students this whole time. Dedicating more concentrated resources to recruiting and keeping them here plays into their mission statement as well.
Right. So this is something, this idea of international students in South Dakota higher education, that you're going to spend the next several weeks looking into. So what can we expect moving forward?
Right. I'm really excited to dig deeper into this. I'm out here in Rapid City for the remainder of this week. The School of Mines they have their kind of cultural expo this weekend. So I'll be catching some interviews later this afternoon and throughout the weekend, looking then as we move forward into how these students build community with themselves and with the communities around them when they're here adjusting to life in South Dakota from India or China or wherever else they're from. And also different recruitment strategies, what makes South Dakota globally competitive. School of Mines, on the one hand, recently unrolled a scholarship directed towards engineering students from India, whereas South Dakota State University, they focus a lot on those international visits, bringing a member of their engineering school, the faculty, along to explain the program to students and kind of what those different strategies look like. And then also looking at, as we approach graduation season, it can be stressful enough approaching the end of your college career, wondering, what am I going to do for work? And, I know a few students who are wondering, where am I going to be in the world in a few months?
Right.
So
right.
That process.
What's
of,
next?
Right. Figuring out, navigating the visa process on top of everything else.
Oh, fascinating stuff. Well, what a great topic to dig into. Jackie Hendry, you always do great work. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you so much, Lori.
Thanks as well to our friends at the Black Hills Surgical Hospital for helping us bring you conversations from SDPB's Black Hills Bureau.